Hello and welcome to today's edition of the DVCA Show. This episode is brought to us by sponsors of the DVCA, Tonkin Legal Group, and we thank them for their support in the 2024-25 season. My name is Kel, and joining me in the studio this week from the Plenty Cricket Club is Nick Curtin, long-time favourite of the club and a long-time favourite of the DVCA. Nick, thank you very much for coming in, mate.
That's a good wrap. Thanks, Kel.
Oh, well, mate, when you come out to Mill Park for it, I always make sure the people have gone the extra mile. Mind you, you're actually not that far away.
Over the road. I'm a Mill Park local. I could have walked here, actually.
So. Okay, let me scrub all the praise I just gave Nick. He's actually just here because I asked him to be. Nick, so Plenty Cricket Club going to this season in Money Shield, coming off being runners-up to Bundoora United last season. 7-wicket loss. What was the rap afterwards about why you went down?
Yeah, it was a 7-wicket loss. It was, you know, we were in the game for probably the first half of the first day, and then that was sort of about it. I wasn't there on the first day, actually. I was playing in my own grand final in C grade. So, you know, going back, we sort of fell into a few traps. The game sort of went sort of the way probably Bundoora United would have wanted it to go. Obviously, we didn't. We lost some wickets at key times, and then, you know, when you do that in a big game, you just don't get enough runs, and it was always going to be hard a week later.
I'm a big believer that grand finals mentally are harder for batsmen than bowlers. 143, not indefensible?
Look, I mean, if we had taken some quick wickets early, but I think, you know, as a batsman, especially in the top order, if you know you've only got 143 to get, you can come out and bat a certain way, and once you can sort of beat the opposition into a little bit of submission, mm-hmm. and sort of take the heat out of the game, you know, the 143 quickly, especially up at our ground. I mean, it was at our ground, you know, off the back end of summer, 143 was always going to be pretty hard to defend. Yeah, we just didn't make enough runs. You know, we probably didn't play well. You know, for most of the game, they played better than us.
And yeah.
At the end of the day, in a grand final, if you don't play as good as you can, you probably get beat. So
what's the appraisal we think on how Bundoora United could perform at Barclays Shield? Strong team, Joel Thompson, another outstanding season, took home the highest honour in Money Shield last year.
Absolute superstar. And clearly a good captain. Clearly a good tactical captain and clearly a good clubhouse captain where he seems to get his team playing his way pretty quickly and pretty regularly, which is obviously the other art of captaincy and coaching. They've got enough match winners in their team mm-hmm. to win enough games. Absolutely, I wouldn't be surprised to see him, you know, go really well. Yep, there's enough there to suggest and enough experience there to suggest that they should be able to do some damage, absolutely.
And happier news for yourself on grand final day. It's not often that we see a team go from winning one grade, getting the promotion, and then taking it away again the next season.
Yeah, it was good. Good fun. So I stopped playing cricket for a couple of years and then ended up back up at Plenty to play with my best mate who captains the twos. So to get back to Black Flags, personally, it was really good.
Yeah. So we're coming off round one and, look, not a particularly auspicious start for anyone really. Most ratchet matches are rained out across the obligatory October
yep.
rain off really. Lower Eltham 167 against Plenty when the rain cancelled it.
Yeah, so look, we didn't bowl very well. We didn't field exceptionally well either. I thought they batted very smartly. I mean, mm-hmm. Justin, you know, has made, I don't know how many runs in this comp, a lot, thousands, tens of thousands.
Yeah.
And he just batted smart. You know, they both sat on us and waited for a bad ball. They knew that that's all they had to do, and we obliged, you know, pretty sort of regularly, where we just couldn't get enough sort of pressure on them to make them play a shot. They did. We dropped a couple of catches as well, but,
yeah.
You know, I thought we trained pretty well. We'd you know, done a fair bit of fielding and fielded pretty well. We were pretty clear in how we wanted to play. So we'll learn from that. You know, I'd still like to think that whatever they would have ended up making, that we would have given that. I mean, we bat pretty well, so
yep.
you know, it would have been probably a really good test for us to, especially early on, to see how we would have gone chasing, you know, something decent. But we've definitely got the talent and the batting to have given it a shake.
Yeah, regularly posting scores around the 300 mark.
Mate. I think that obviously helps when you play at our ground as well.
Yeah,
and Lower Eltham's was lightning on the weekend, and it's pretty round. Like, it's hard to defend, so hard to know what a decent score would have been. Mm-hmm. yeah, we'd like to think that whatever it was, we would have had a crack at it. But yeah, there's definitely some learnings and some things we want to do better after the weekend. And I think, you know, the example of the way they batted as well is a really good example for us moving forward, that, you know, you don't have to do anything silly to make runs. Sometimes you just got to sit on a bowler and wait for, you know, something that you know that you can do and just do that. And that's what they did. They picked us off. They picked us off well.
The skills aren't always red hot in round one, even if you've had a good pre-season, but the mindset and the proper application, that can be there from the first ball.
Absolutely. And that's, we talk about controllables, and that is a controllable. You know, I say it all the time at training. Sometimes you don't know how well the opposition are going to play, or, you know, someone might come out and have a day, but the one thing you can control is your mindset and your intensity and that stuff. So, yeah, control the controllables. I think everyone would be pretty sure on that.
You know, the first time I met Witch was on the old radio show back at Plenty Valley FM, and it was the week after he'd made his 200. I reckon I'm going to say it was about 5 years ago, maybe 2019. At Oldenburg. Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
And he came into the studio and he was wearing the singlet with the protein shake in one hand, and he's just chiseled from bronze. And I was like, okay, I've got a pretty good idea what this bloke's like.
Yeah, he's been a good player for a long period of time, and he's been with sort of that longevity comes, you know, batting smarts, you know, and you can't teach those. They come over time, and he's developed his game, and he'll know, you know, he probably can't play all the shots that he used to be able to play 10 years ago and do all the things that, you know, he used to do. But at the end of the day, so cricket, especially batting, a lot of that's in the head, and if you switch it on, there's no reason why you can't make runs.
I'm actually reminded a lot of, so you talk about cricket's a sport where you can age gracefully, you can just figure out how you change your game, how you preserve yourself and work to your strengths. One of my first cricketing memories watching Steve Waugh hit 150 not on one leg at the Oval in 2002, and he kind of just went, okay, can I protect myself, don't have to take the risky singles, if they're there I'm going to go for it. And which I would have the same sort of mindset in being able to adjust.
And I think you do. As you get older, batting becomes, you know, I think you realise more that batting is played in your head so much. I mean, you've obviously got to be able to have a decent technique and know how to do certain things and know your own game, but you do grow into batting, I believe, yeah.
Which, 73 not out, and he only made the 12th man of our team of the week. He was a victim of the criteria. I felt bad. Luke O'Donnell at the Wanderers, he made the fifth batting position, getting 32 not. So you had all these guys making 60s and 50s.
Well, no one else got a hit because the games didn't go any longer.
Yeah, well, I'm sure, Luke, if you are listening, I imagine you would have copped a fair bit of carry in your North Eltham chat over the weekend. But it is the way we sorted the criteria. So, Nick, plenty as a whole.
Yep.
We were talking off-air the changing face of cricket, of local sport, of the DVCA over the last few years, over vagaries such as the popularity of sport and cost of living. How's the club sitting?
Club's sitting well. So we'll go with four senior teams this year. We've moved our fourth 11 into the one-day comp. We've just found, sort of talking to the majority of our playing group, especially some of the younger guys, that moving forward, it's probably going to be easier for us to get a lot more bodies if they've only got to commit, you know, every week, not to two in a row. A lot of guys are working and you know, coming off the back of footy, need some time off or want to head away. And so we're sort of like, well, you know, we'll change our mindset as far as, you know, especially the bottom couple of grades, and we'll make sure that, you know, we're about playing cricket in those grades.
Yeah.
We've got some under 16s and even some under 14s that have put their hand up that really want to play
cricket. Oh, terrific, yeah.
And, you know, our philosophy, we've talked about this as a club and as an executive committee as well, I'm sure they have, which I'm not a part of, that, you know, we want to promote juniors that want to play senior cricket.
Yep.
You know, if there's some kids around these days that haven't had enough of their cricket on a Friday night and they want to play on a Saturday, you just can't deny them.
Yep. You know, I'm glad you mentioned that, because you can tend to forget how much of a challenge it is when you're under 14s or under 16s to suddenly go up and play against adults and be playing in the heat of the afternoon for, even if you're in the lower grades, a 35 over innings into a 70 over day.
Yeah.
You can burn a young cricketer's love out.
Absolutely. I mean, I grew up doing it, and we played juniors Saturday morning, so it was, you know, it was
pretty much, they were the days.
It was pretty much cricket at, you know, 8:30, 9 o'clock all the way through till 6 or 7 and all over Melbourne, and I loved it. And so I think if there's some kids around that have that attitude and they love cricket that much, I think we need to harness that and really, you know, let them play, let them at it.
we were outrighted in my first four senior matches. And I did the same thing Saturday morning into Saturday afternoon.
That's character building, though.
Mate, I made a pair in each of them. Like, if you still want to play cricket after eight straight ducks at senior level, nothing's stopping you.
But that's all cricket memories, I suppose. You know, that's, you play a lot of game of cricket over your career, so.
Yeah.
There's good and bad, and there's good and bad parts of every day. So, yeah, it is what it is. And as I said, if there's kids that want to play cricket, our philosophy at Plenty is going to be that, well, we're going to let them play. We want to watch them flourish and let them see what they can do.
And yourself jumping on the Blast program at Plenty this season?
Yes, yeah, so I'll head up there and help out. I've got two young boys, so one of them is going to come along and pester the coach. My wife was a little bit about it, but I just thought, look, if there's an hour session there, that's an hour you can go and annoy someone else and leave me alone for a little bit. So, yeah, but we're pretty, a club as a whole, we're pretty happy with where we're at. And like you said before about the first 11, you know, I'd like to think that there's more than enough talent in that team to be able to rectify sort of that grand final loss last year. We're pretty excited about what we can do. You know, obviously we've got some things to work on from the weekend, and we've got some things to work on from the grand final. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how good or how bad you're going, you've always got something to work on. And if you stop working on things, you stop trying to get better, well then, you know, someone else will.
Yep.
And, you know, we're not going to have any excuse. We're definitely not going to be outworked at the end of the day. The results will be what they are, but, you know, if we can get to the end of the year and look back and know that we've done all the right things, you know, no one's going to outwork us. So, yeah, I mean, there's no coincidence that you normally get a bit of luck when you work pretty hard. Yep. So.
No, the cricket gods do reward you when...
Absolutely.
You control
the controls. I can personally attest to that. I know... You know, you want to look for excuses when you're not doing too well, yep. But I mean, you look internally first, and you'll normally find out that, you know, maybe you could just do a little bit more.
Well, Nick, thank you very much for coming on. Been a great chat.
Beautiful.
Wishing you and the Plenty Career Club, and also your 3-year-old on the Blast. You've got the full gamut of cricket this season.
Yeah, it'll be good. 360 degrees. I'm looking forward to it, mate.
Nick Curtin from the Plenty Cricket Club. Thank you very much for listening to today's episode of the DVCA Show. Remember, more cricket, more people, more often.